views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals participating in the show. All persons described or mentioned in the podcast should be considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. This podcast contains subject matter such as violence and graphic descriptions along with adult language, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
In 1981, a mysterious game is installed in various arcades in Portland, Oregon. It is known to cause intense psychoactive and addictive effects in the player, even causing one death. Was it real? Was it not? You're listening to the Mysterious Bruce Podcast, and tonight we bring you the case of Polybius.
It's the arcade game that spawned an urban legend.
It's a game that never was, but for a game that never was, it sure has paid a lot of commotion.
A game rumored to be so addictive, it caused severe side effects in those who played it.
There was a game that you could play that would come into your head, that would affect your mind.
It said players were unwittingly part of a secret government experiment to try and control their minds.
It goes back, I think, to MK Ultra and the Americans in the 1970s when they were using hallucinogenics to try and control the populace.
Shady men in black were reportedly spotted monitoring the machines before removing them. And then, nothing. Until 20 years later, when the Polybius legend...
Welcome to a deep, dark, dank, moist basement somewhere in the bowels of Georgia. So that's what I get for recording the little BBC news reel on this topic on the same color button as I do our opening. So that's backwards today. We're just going to go with it. We're just going with it. Okay, we're just going. But anyway, Coachum, how are you?
I'm all right. I've been better. I've been worse. Pretty even keel.
It's tax day. It's tax day. It's the day we hate
it's
the government.
My sister's birthday.
Ooh.
She's 45. She's old as shit.
Yeah, we won't say anything about that. All right, ladies and gents, we had some very nice things about our lovely, I can't even get to it now, so it don't matter. This is what happens when you shit don't go right. That is not the tab either. Let's see if we can find it. Bingo. All right, so on our lovely, lovely time travelers, we had the old, if you're not first, you're last, Ricky Bobby. And our post-brew hangover is starting to catch a little traction. We're getting some comments on it. If you are listening to this and you are a patron, you need to understand that you can log into Patreon and listen to the post-brew hangovers. They are exclusively for our paid members, okay? Ms. Leffler said, okay, y'all figured it out. It's the bronchitis and the conjunctivitis. How can you not remember? I've made everyone listen to it. And then we discussed guilty pleasure movies, and Miss Raymond said The Gangs of New York. I've not ever watched that from start to finish. I always pick it up in between.
But that is a good movie.
It is a very good movie. I just have never sat down and watched the whole thing. So there we go. All right, ladies and gents, no new patrons. We have some five-star reviews that someone has decided to neglect.
I did not neglect them.
We also got, all right, before you get as you're pulling those up, we also got a recommendation for top five, and it was go with your top five memes right here. Let's go. Basically, they want us to post our top five memes to Patreon.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. I have so many memes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It was so far, there's some doozies on here. So I'll have to share them with you. I said, that's a good one. We'll have to ponder this one. There was something else. I think everybody has received their decals. If you're a new patron, Mr. Jim Beans, I do believe he's across the pond. And he has gotten his. So I think that's both of our British
patrons. His name is Jim Beam.
Well, his name is Jim Bean, B-E-A-N with a Z.
Bean.
Yes, with a Z at the end.
Oh, he almost became our favorite patron.
Okay, I spoke too soon. Miss Jusik, we will be getting yours in the mail pronto. So that is on me. All right, ladies and gents, let's hear from our five-star reviews.
We'll cover them next time.
Like spoken like a true professional.
There's just too many.
There's just too many to get. You gonna split it up, or you just not gonna do it at all?
No, we're gonna cover it next time.
Okay. You heard it here first. Next time. All right, ladies and gents, tonight we are doing the Polybius, and I'm going to butcher that the entire night, so just get used to it.
No, you said it right.
This one is either a urban legend that has taken root like the Slender Man, or this actually happened.
I honestly think it happened to be, I think it was a psyop.
You mean our government would do that to us?
I'm just saying. I think it was real.
All right. Well, y'all heard it here first, man. He's calling them out. Okay, so legend has it that in 1981, an arcade called Polybius briefly took residence in Portland, Oregon. But this was no ordinary video game. Many believe that it was a tool of the United States government to test one's mental and physical agility as a method of recruiting soldiers, just like one of the greatest movies of all time, The Last Starfighter.
I've never seen it.
Jesus, how can we be friends?
I'm sorry.
Speaking of friends.
Wait. Who's in that? Is that Matthew Broderick?
I know. I don't remember. Oh, who's
that's
in.
War Games.
Yeah, that's War Games. Heater stated that if it was not for you correcting me on Godfather Part 2 being very good, that my friendship with him would have ended.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, you're just looking for an excuse to kick me to the curb.
Never. I would never kick you to the curb.
Why does it do that? Cast. Robert Preston played the alien. Lance Guest. I do not believe he starred in anything else after that. There's basically Catherine Mary Stewart was in it along with Barbara Bawson. That's about it, boys. Some very B-list actors in that one. But it was 1984. It's very good. Very, very good. Yes, Lance Guest played Alex Rogan, a teenager recruited by an alien to save the world. But anyway, all right, so back to it. Others say that it caused seizures or brain aneurysms and was possibly being tested by the CIA as a brainwashing tool a la MK Ultra. Some think it was just a prototype version of the Atari game Tempest. Many more believe the whole thing was a hoax, and there's another camp that says that it never existed at all. Now, we have a couple of, actually, we have three documentarians, Mr. Todd Luoto, John Franchette, and Dylan Rife. They are seeking the truth behind the mythical arcade game, and they are trying to put together, as of, when was this, 2020? So COVID probably put the kibosh on this, but they were trying to do a documentary film called Polybius Conspiracy, and they're trying to figure out whether it's real or not. But there's a lot of stories out there. Basically, in the span of a week, three children really did fall ill upon playing video games at arcades in the Portland area. One, Michael Lopez, got a migraine, the first he had ever had from playing Tempest. Brian Morrow, a 12-year-old trying to set the world record for playing Asteroids for the longest time, fell ill after 28 hours at it. And roughly a week later, 18-year-old competitive gamer Jeff Daly died to a heart attack after chasing the world record in Berserk.
Good Lord.
1 year later, 19-year-old Peter Burkowski followed suit for the same reason, playing the same game. I'm thinking we don't need to play Berserk.
I've never played it.
I ain't either. Quote, there's a medical and logical explanation to it, but when four different kids get sick within a close time frame of each other, that's how legends grow, said Todd Luoto. He goes on to state, when you think about it in playground years, that's enough fodder to keep kids going and talking about that forever. Even a week is a pretty short time between events to make correlations, especially with kids' brains. Kid brains are just going to take that and go wild with it. Yeah, I mean, hell, when this allegedly took place, I mean, that's 1981. Hell, it's just word of mouth. So it spread like crazy. Now, they said that the whole Last Starfighter scenario is kind of in the, I guess, legend, in which Men in Black would use arcade games to recruit soldiers based on the fact that FBI agents really did stake out arcades in Portland during the early 80s. Only it wasn't to recruit video game super soldiers, but rather due to a series of drug and gambling busts in the area. Some of the very arcades the sick kids frequented were raided by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Quote, back in the early 80s, arcades weren't the safe haven that people think they were. Drugs were a big part of what went on. Gambling was a big thing as well. There were FBI that came up to the Portland area and placed hidden cameras and actually tracked people through their high score initials that they left. So there actually was an FBI raid that people remember. But then they remember that there actually were these Men in Black figures that would go there as well. So some say they weren't trying to brainwash kids, but they were trying to keep tabs on the arcade. And that is, again, Mr. Luoto.
Yeah, but how do you gamble on arcade games?
See, I don't know. I didn't understand that either because it's so, I mean, it's, if you got the Pac-Man, whatever, memorized, I guess you could bet on that. But everything else is basically, are you betting that you can get to a certain level? I don't know.
I don't know, man. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was so shitty at video games that there's no way I would have put money on it. Mr. Reeves goes on to state, so you've got people seeing these kids getting sick, seeing these busts go down, and seeing the police presence. It's the perfect ground for conspiracy theories. There are more real world connections that lie beyond the Polybius myth, which dabbles into the MK Ultra program. And for those of you that don't know about the MK Ultra, you've been living under a rock, but basically, following World War II, the U.S. government recruited Nazi scientists via Operation Paperclip. These Nazis would be protected under the condition that they would develop technology for the U.S. Over the years, this turned into MK Ultra, a well-documented, albeit illegal, experimenting brainwashing slash mind control program. Both drugs and electronics were used in such experiments. Now, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, states that he was a, I guess, unwilling participant when he was at Harvard in MKUltra, that they fucked with him with bright flashing lights. Hmm. Yeah, very, very, very weird, man, very weird.
But why would they do that?
He was very bright, man. I don't know why they would target him, but he was extremely bright. He was very odd. I think he was at Harvard when he was, what, 16 or 17?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so I don't – there was that one professor there that was eyeballs deep in MKUltra, and I, to be honest with you, I think that is not the entire reason that he turned out the way he did, but it had a hell of a – it shifted a gear, I can say that. Now, Mr. Reif says that the kernel of truth lives there, that there was this government program, that it did exist. How that would translate to Polybius is another thing entirely. People make connections between what the government was doing, the legend of the game, and how they overlap. Flashing lights, disorientation, audio sensory confusion. That's where that little kernel of truth sprouted from. Now, there's another connection to Polybius involving mind control. And this one was in 2006, a man going by the name of Stephen Roach posted on the CoinOp forum where Polybius was first mentioned, offering a detailed story about how he was commissioned by a South American company to build a video game. They released the video game in a small market. People got sick from it, then they recalled it. The guy said it was as simple as that. Now, according to video game historian and Polybius expert Kat DeSpira, there was, in fact, a man named Stephen Roach who used to run these behavioral modification programs. Quote, his company was based in Mexico, but they actually belonged to an institution in some sort that was global, Mr. Reif said. He goes on to state, what they used to do was basically a child reform academy that used behavior modification, and it's implied some sort of brainwashing, but obviously not digital. But that ended up getting shut down by the government because of abusive practices that supposedly Stephen Roach and his wife were involved in. And now he is a man on the run. What is clear is there was a real man named Stephen Roach. What is not clear is whether this Stephen Roach on the CoinOp forum was the same fugitive DeSpira was talking about, or was it someone imitating him? Whoever the poster was, this Mr. Roach claimed that the company called, no way in hell that's going to be right, but we'll go for it, Sinusloken, commissioned the game, a slightly fumbled word that loosely translates as sensory removed in Germany. In Germany. In German. Shit. You know, because they speak in Germany over there. There is a Sinusloken site in existence, but it's been confirmed as just a fan site. Mr. Luodo says he misspells it a few times in his posting, which is also pretty suspicious. The Stephen Roach poster was very good with technology, but according to us, not so good with the old spelling. There's also a question as to whether he actually would have had the skill set to do what he's talking about. So there's a lot of questions. But it's incredibly intriguing if it is indeed the same Stephen Roach who was on the run with his wife, because what they did was very horrifying. And it was related to mind control and the idea of deprivation with these kids who were at a reform school. They were deciding when these kids would sleep, deciding when they would eat, and this was all pretty standard practice for mind control tactics and brainwashing. These are all diverting and disturbing theories, but there's quite a lot to suggest that Polybius was an elaborate hoax. But if it is, then what a hoax? Its ties to real-world events and history would be enough to make Hideo Kojima green with envy, and it's been over 3 decades since Polybius allegedly appeared and nearly 2 since its first public mention.
Yeah, but why hoax it?
I don't know. See, that's what I don't... what's the end game if you hoax it? Is it just to see what, how fast you can get something to take hold? Or I've been diving down the old Richard Doty rabbit hole, and that dumb bastard, I don't even think that's his real name, but that asshole said that he was the king of disinformation, and he would put 20% truth and 80% lies into a story that he wove. He's just, ugh. And that's, I mean, the whole disinformation thing just pisses me off, especially when it comes to the UFO topic, but
absolutely,
I could see maybe them attempting to, I guess, to see how far they could take this if it was a hoax, but I don't know, man. I really don't. A 17-year gap between Polybius' appearance and the 1998 public record on the coin-op would explain, or could be explained, by the fact that nobody ever bothered to document it before the internet existed. Of course, it's more likely that it was a prank, especially given that Stephen Roach's background. I mean, did someone choose that name on purpose so that when they researched Stephen Roach, they came up with this, you know, piece of shit that was experimenting on kids? Could be. I don't know. Now, the first mention of Polybius was a German poster on CoinOp going by the moniker CyberYogi, and he has a reputation as a trickster. When you start learning more about this CyberYogi character, he basically put a bunch of disinformation out there. It's also worth noting that the name Polybius, an ancient Greek historian who championed factual integrity and using firsthand accounts when writing records, something that was considered revolutionary at the time and sadly still holds true today, with the murky web of lies and half-truths dominating the interwebs. With no other explanation for the name, it seems like, or seems likely, that CyberYogi chose this title as an ironic joke to poke fun at people's willingness to believe anything. Now, remember, Polybius did make an appearance in The Simpsons, and on it has on right below the coin slot, it says property of the U.S. government. Mr. Reef says that, quote, "I like the really crazy perfect storm conspiracy theories where all these things were happening, but I also like the idea that maybe there's just this group of 80s teenagers who created this thing and have just kept this secret guarded as being a hoax all these years." I don't know, man. Could it really be? Could you really keep it up that long? You would think someone would slip up.
I think so, but I mean, I really want to believe, though.
Yeah, and one of the articles I researched stated, so does it matter it's actually true? Because one person's truth is another person's lie, and even though there's several accounts of those who swear that they've played Polybius, there are at least people that, quote, know someone who played it. I don't think anyone's gotten a lot of firsthand accounts on tape, and it's really interesting to see in comments how many people claim to have played this game, Mr. Reef says. Whenever you read the comments, there's always someone who says definitively that they've played this game. So if you're poking holes in the story, it's not really, I mean, you're into the legend of this game, and you really need people that state they have played it to come on record and say, you know, here it is, this is what happened to me, yada, 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 yada. Now, there is the Polybius conspiracy, and it's all centered around, and this is what they were trying to create the documentary with, was separating the myth from the fact. If they could get someone to say, yeah, I was at that arcade in Portland, I remember seeing that video game console there. I don't know, man. It's quite interesting.
Well, I mean, it makes sense that the CIA would want to monitor teenagers' thoughts, you know what I'm saying?
Especially in the 80s, we're right in the middle of satanic panic.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense that they would want to keep an eye on the youth.
The youth?
Let's just say, let's just put the youths.
Now, according to DeSpira, supposedly, allegedly, there have been sightings of the actual Polybius console in a storage locker in Newport, Oregon. Quote, there's still four or five storage lockers we hope to visit. It's not hard, or actually it is hard, to not get excited and try to find the actual Holy Grail of the Polybius conspiracy. So maybe it existed, maybe it didn't. I don't know. Certain cartoons have given epileptic children seizures. FBI agents have raided arcades in Portland. The U.S. government has experimented with mind control, and if you ask me, they still are. And kids have fallen ill to prolonged video game exposure, and many recall tales of mysterious agents whisking away wide-eyed children with untapped video game potential. So the truth is that the story behind the legend may just be as interesting as the legend itself, kind of like the Loch Ness Monster. You know, I don't know, senor. So that's about all there is out there about Polybius. One thing that you can chase when you research this is how it would have tied into an MK Ultra. But at the time, you would have to have, I guess, a specific target of if you're trying to brainwash a kid that played the video game. I don't see them putting it in a random ass arcade in Portland just to see how the Oregon kids are doing it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of 50-50.
I mean, why would they not, though? I mean, if they're going to monitor the kids' thoughts, why not Portland?
Yeah, I guess. But hell, man, I mean, why not? If you're going to do that, why only Portland? I guess is what I'm hung up on. Why not?
I mean, that's a good point.
Why not hit a couple of other states on the East Coast and West Coast? Maybe a couple in the Midwest. I don't know. And then are you – I don't know, man. I know that the government is probably listening to this very podcast, but I don't – how are you going to track those kids that are exposed to Polybius? Is it one of those where you are assigning agents to monitor these kids to see if they have behavioral changes, if they go to the doctor, yada, yada, yada?
I think so, yeah.
Well, there you have it. That is the story of Polybius, and Coach says, yes, they were monitoring their asses.
They were definitely monitoring them.
Yeah, well, I was going to say they're definitely monitoring the arcades, and obviously that one arcade up there in Portland was rife with drug activity and the gambling. The cat agrees. Cat agrees. All right. Coachum, you got a recommendation?
I'm going to recommend the podcast Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. If you are a fan of old school wrestling, it will definitely tickle your fancy.
Don't be tickling no fancies, boy. Get in trouble tickling people not wanting it. I'm going to recommend our good friend, or actually, I'm just going to copy our good friend, Chuck from Arkansas. He had a podcast recommendation that's very good, and people agreed. Murder 101, it is a iHeartRadio podcast, and I listened to the first episode, and I will have to agree, it is very, very intriguing. I don't want to give anything away, but... that has the recommendations. So, Coach, do you have anything to add?
Oh, you know I don't.
Well, then, guess what, ladies and gents? Deuces.